What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray. We're talking about generational wealth, mental health, finance, and business. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate. Today, we're talking to my brother, Ivan Thomas, and his wife, Autumn. They're both influencers, content creators. My brother Ivan, you may remember him. This brother was on the show November of 2023. This brother told us, because we're talking about Florida, you know, I'm in Orlando. This brother started out in Palm Coast, moved to ATL. This brother is your favorite publicist. Let's run down some of the folks that he's blessed us with on Black Men Sundays, man. We're talking about my man, Roderick Lawrence, Ted Santos, Melody Cherie Rogers. Brandon the Brand even came on here. We got blessed. And we need my man Tony Jackson to come back on the show. This brother's the CEO of Intrigue Media Group. The last time we had him on, he gave us information about how he founded Defy Gravity International. He gave us game on how to build your business, how to build the brand. So if you want to go back to 2023, how to build the brand, this brother was on the show. But before I even introduce his wife, I'm going to teach y'all brothers how to respect, because I feel like, you know, brothers getting money now, we going out, we enjoying life. But you know what appalls me? When a brother comes through and their wife is gorgeous, hey man, your wife is super fine, bro. She off the chain. No respect, my brother. You ain't cool with him like that. You know, he's cool with me. I brought you out with him. Don't disrespect his wife. You know, if you want to pay a compliment, say, hey, brother, man, you did a great job with your wife. How you doing, ma'am? How you doing, Mrs. Whatever her last name is, Mrs. Don't say Ms. Mrs. We gotta respect, man. We getting money now. We acting broke out here, and I'm sick of it. So without further ado, my brother Ivan Thomas and Otto, welcome to Black Men Sundays. Let's get it. How y'all doing?
What's up, Corey? Oh, great. How you doing?
All right, so I was going to ask you, Ivan, off top, man, because I know, I mean, your wife's gorgeous, brother.
Appreciate it.
Have you had brothers not trying to be disrespectful, but it doesn't come off as so complimentary, right? Or am I just bugging?
Yeah. No, it happens. You know, everyone doesn't have that decorum that you just illustrated so eloquently right there. You know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes it's just a learning curve. You know, you don't know. You haven't been exposed to how to conduct yourself in those certain types of situations. But, you know, it doesn't happen too often, but it does happen.
Definitely, man. And, you know, as I was telling y'all in the pre-show, what I love about your Instagram page. First off, I ain't gonna lie, I'm gonna need some help on my Instagram page. I feel like my TikTok lit, but I feel like my Instagram is on the struggle bus. But I'm looking at y'all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Y'all swimming, y'all having a good time, y'all traveling, y'all in good shape, good health. And let's talk to Mrs. Autumn real quick. See, I didn't say Ms. Mrs. Autumn. Mm-hmm. She's married, my brothers. Let's get this correct. Mm-hmm. So Autumn, I'm looking at your bio and I see, you know, you have over a decade of a physical physician associate experience, but then you transition to spend some more time with your family. Because I'm seeing people now, I just want to be an entrepreneur. I want to go to lunch at noon. I want to spend more time with my family. And you're doing that. And you also have established collaborations with brands, theme parks, and restaurants. So how did you make that transition?
You know, at first it was very difficult, but honestly, what was a turning point for me was the pandemic. I was so burnt out in what I was doing, unfulfilled. Would go to work early in the morning. My kids are asleep. I come home late at night. My kids are asleep. Like, I felt like I was missing a lot of just family life and being able to spend time, you know, with Ivan and with my kids. And I would come home literally mentally and physically exhausted. And I say, you know, something has to give. So, you know, I slowly made the transition initially, you know, working with Intrigue Media Group and then, you know, just discovering other passions that I had, which was, you know, content creation. So then Ivan and I decided to start building Defy Gravity out a little bit more. We've gotten into collaborations because it's really helped us to bond more as a couple with the restaurants and luxury retreats and that sort of thing. And then the theme parks, all of that was really for the kids. So to be able to do more things as a family and incorporate them a little bit, let them be artistic and have fun. So it's been a good transition so far.
Okay, but I got to be honest with you. Like, I hear so many people wanting to transition, but they're like, you know, the fear of, because we've had a lot of entrepreneurs on this show. A lot of entrepreneurs have books like Ivan here. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just starting to see, because me and my brother Kalali, we're like, bro, we're doing something wrong, man. But how did you safely and peacefully and respectfully, how did you say, I'm going to go into that and make that my new life's mission? Because from the entrepreneurs that we speak to, it's rough out here. So how did you successfully make the transition and keep the finances in alignment?
Well, I was definitely afraid. I'm not gonna lie, I was definitely afraid because I grew up in a household where you were taught to go to school, get you a good job, and just work your 9 to 5 and have a stable paycheck. Whereas Ivan came from a totally different background. But I think the why for me was just being able to spend time with the family. You know, that was the biggest thing that really pushed it. And I got to a breaking point where I was like, you know, something has to give. It started to weigh on the marriage because I was constantly coming home frustrated. I wasn't spending any time with the kids. And the times when I was spending time with them, usually it was frustration was involved because I was always exhausted. So I said, you know what? Even though I'm afraid, I'm going to do it anyway because I feel like the overall gain is going to be much more beneficial. And honestly, I didn't even think about the finance initially. I was like, we're probably going to take a little hit in the beginning because I was making good money. I'm not going to lie. I was making good money as a physician assistant, paid very well, but internally the money wasn't enough for me to stay. So, you know, I said, I know initially we're going to take this hit, but I think being able to build something where there's no ceiling on the amount of money that we can make is going to be more beneficial. On top of the fact that now healing my mental health, you know, I'm more at peace. I'm able to speak to my kids a little more calm. There's like a different type of energy in the house now that I'm doing something that I love. So that was it. That's all I needed.
You kind of struck a chord there because you said money wasn't worth you staying. But I
It
hear a
wasn't.
lot of brothers and sisters saying the money is the reason why I'm staying. But yeah, my mental health's not right. I don't sleep good on Sunday nights because I know I'm about to walk into some BS on Monday. But I feel like I'd rather deal with that stress than to become an entrepreneur and figure out how I can keep the lifestyle that I'm living, keeping my kids in these schools. You know what I'm saying? So touch on that for a little bit.
So, I mean, I think that it wasn't even just the mental health aspect because I like to say that I'm someone that's very mentally strong. There are a lot of things that I can put up with and deal with when it comes to a job in order to make sure that my family is secure. But what I'm not willing to compromise is on my physical well-being. So I also started to get some physical ailments that I was dealing with for like 2, 2.5 years. And so once it reached that point where not only was my mental affected, but also my physical well-being, it wasn't enough. I mean, yes, money, you should make sure that your family is financially stable. I'm not saying be reckless, especially when you have young kids like we have, but I look at the overall picture that I'm putting out for my kids, and I never want them to feel like they have to stay in a space where money is the only thing that's keeping them there. Because at the end of the day, that's not going to be enough to sustain you once everything else starts to weigh on you.
Wow. Okay. Great point. And Ivan, I'm gonna come to you real quick. You Black Men Sundays alumni. You know what I'm
Yes,
saying?
sir.
So I want to take it back to Florida real quick because I was listening to the previous shows 2 years ago. I had I because when I met you, I just met you through answering emails. That's why I always tell people answer your emails. But you said that you started Intrigue Media Group in Palm Coast, Florida. And when I think of Palm Coast, Florida, I hate to say it, but I only go up there to cover hurricanes. And it's a lot of retirees out of straight out of New York. And they spicy too. Like they ain't the Long Island ones. They from Brooklyn, Bronx, and Long Island. So first off, my question for you is, because this is a family and we're talking about the investment of marriage. Now, did you know your wife when you were in Palm Coast, or did you meet her after when you got to Atlanta?
No, well, actually, she was attending grad school in Jacksonville. So I met her then. She was in Jacksonville. I was in Palm Coast. And like you just described, Palm Coast is, retirees. The only thing, you got the beach. It's relaxing, but definitely if you're really a young, vibrant individual trying to accomplish some things, it's not necessarily the market for you. But yeah, we met in Jacksonville. And from there, once we connected, it just kind of took off. We didn't really waste any time. We hung out a couple times. Before you knew it, we were in a relationship and we were just progressing forward. So I think we were both at a mind state where, there were things that we were looking for in our lives and We weren't really willing to compromise it, and we just knew what we wanted out of life. So we connected. We didn't waste time getting to know each other. You know, we were direct with what we were looking for in life, and then it just kind of blossomed from there.
Oh, wow. I ain't know, man. You met your wife up in Duval.
Yep, Duval. Yep.
Definitely, man. And I want to just, you know, I'm kind of warming y'all up right now. But, you know, one thing that I like to talk about, especially with publicists, Ivan, is that a lot of publicists, especially the newer celebrity publicists, I feel like they don't handle client loss well. So for someone that's getting in the publicist game, for someone that's being an entrepreneur, that, you know, instead of your job setting you up with the clients, you have to do it yourself. How do you deal with the loss, and how do you rebound from that and keep your spirit positive?
Well, I do it by just not taking it personally. You know, being a publicist and being in that industry can be, it's really kind of like a thankless industry. I just got to be real, you know, so you can be the best thing in the world since sliced bread, you know, with a client, and then things can change. And lots of times it's not you. It could be a financial shift for them. It can be a change of direction or what they want to see in their lives. So I just always prepare myself and recognize that every client is temporary. Some might be several months. Some might be 2 years. Some might be 10 years if you're fortunate enough, but it's all contingent upon their needs. So sometimes you got to prepare for the loss of a client simply just because their needs change. And sometimes your needs change and what you're able to provide them at that period of time may change. So I just tell people not to take it personally. It's business. And to just always, you know, never put all your eggs in one basket. Always be looking for different opportunities and keep your eyes and ears open so that when that time inevitably comes, you can rebound.
And I just got to ask you, man, what's so sexy about the publicist industry? Because I remember, you know, I graduated from FAMU like in 03. You know, I'm
okay.
Kind of old. But
Reckless
in here. Let's get she lucky Eric ain't. Like, we the cook Eric because he Alabama. He the fake A&M. We the real A&M over here. But yeah, but no, but I'm just saying my question is like I'm seeing a lot of people transitioning to Atlanta. I have a sister. You know, became an entrepreneur, started her own investment business. I have another sister in California, left the news industry. Like she was basic like VP of NBC.
Wow.
And she
acted
became
up and
an
went to
entrepreneur.
ATL.
Yeah, and moving to ATL. I'm like, hold up, you don't live in New York, you don't live in Atlanta, and you didn't have some nice places. So for you guys, why did you choose Atlanta?
Well, we chose Atlanta similarly to why they probably did just at that period, which was around, we moved up here in 2016. Yeah, so we've been up here for about 9 years now. But we moved here just because of the energy, you know? So you saw the shift where just culturally, like from the music and entertainment things were popping, you got the sports teams out here, you know, it's an entrepreneurial hub. And the fact that you have Hartsville, you know, Jackson Airport here, you know, which is the busiest and, you know, most efficient airport in the United States. So they say, you know, it's like a hub. So everybody flies in. So people are coming from New York, coming from LA, coming from Chicago into Atlanta and from internationally. So I think that from a business perspective, you know, you just get a lot of opportunities and you're able to meet a lot of people. And if you're in an industry like I am with the PR, you know, you're going to meet all kinds of entrepreneurs. You're going to meet athletes. You're going to meet the celebrities. You're going to meet people in different, you know, lines, you know, spaces in corporate America, whether you're meeting somebody from Coca-Cola or Chick-fil-A, you know, or Delta, you know, so there's just so many opportunities. And also, you know, the city, you know, just experiencing having Black mayors and, you know, people who are in prominent positions in the Black community who are here making an impact. I think that's one of the most enticing things about it. If you're a Black professional looking for a shift or if you're looking, you know, to grow, I think that, you know, there are a lot of opportunities here. And for Autumn, you know, she was a physician assistant at that time. So she ended up, you know, once we started exploring moving up here, and her parents actually live up here. It was just made sense.
Okay. And now let's go on and have this conversation. So, you know, you guys have been married about 10 years. I was just warming y'all up, getting y'all voices
let's
ready.
Get it.
Let's go. Now, this Black Miss Sunday. You about to get on this wealth tip.
Let's go. Let's go.
All right. So you guys been married about 10 years, almost 10 years now. It's almost October.
Yes.
So I can give y'all the 10-year love.
Okay.
Four children. So let's talk about the health wealth conversation because I feel like, and I ain't gonna lie, I'm keeping it real, man. I'm 9 years in, but you know, I ain't gonna lie, I've been Outside of walking the dogs, I ain't really working out too much. I'm eating wifey cooking all that good South
Oh
Florida
man,
Bahamian
that's
dishes.
up.
I'm
Ooh,
having a good time,
okay.
but I feel like, okay, you're getting a little thick, my brother. So I'm
You
just
too many
saying, like,
cock fritters, bro.
oh, don't do that. I know, because I got my aunt straight out of the Bahamas, bring that real
Wow.
conch too, bring the batter all ready to go. So I'm just saying, from a health conversation, because what I do love about you guys is I notice you both are in shape. I mean, four kids, you both are in shape, you both still look like you in love. People online be fronting, like, oh, and then they be, but y'all really look genuine about it. So let's talk about the health conversation, the health and wealth conversation, because you guys have four kids, and how important is health? What type of diets do you guys do? Any vegan? Like, let's go, let's have that conversation. So either whoever want to start, let's go.
Well, yeah, the way that we manage it is just recognizing what's important in life. So, we have children all the way from age 15. My oldest is from a previous relationship, so we'll just get that out the way real quick. But I have a 15, we have a 15-year-old, and then our youngest is two, right? So, we want to be around. I'm 42 years old. My youngest son is 2 years old. I want to be able to throw the football with them and, still be there for those important moments. We have three sons, one daughter. Our daughter's eight. So it's just very important to, just make sure that they get the best version of us. So that's why we take the health and wellness part, extremely seriously, not just from a physical standpoint, but even as Autumn illustrated earlier with the PR thing, I mean, with the physician assistant. Career is just that, sometimes we see what's going on in the world right now, especially with COVID. She was just overwhelmed. You got disgruntled patients coming in, people with attitudes, people fearing, what's going on in their lives, and she's having to deal with all of that while being overworked. Just patients just flooding in during that space, and just, she grew tired. So just to keep it real, she, like she said, she was coming home, frustrated and just kind of worn out. And me being a husband and me being one of those men who truly believes in being a provider, I'm like, I can't see my wife going through this, for too much longer. You know what I'm saying? I know that's what you went to school for. You went to grad school, put all of those hours and that time in and your studies, but your health is important. And if it's something that you're not showing up to work every single day, truly enjoying it, it's not fulfilling the purpose that you wanted to fulfill as far as being there and helping and supporting other people, bringing them back to health, but it's becoming something that is not fun, it's not enjoyable, and you're coming back being stressed, that's not really what you got into it for. So let's give you the opportunity to feel like yourself again, to quite frankly, she got tired of me being able to go wherever I wanted to go. And then she's having to work New Year's Eve or Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Eve, and stuff like that. And she's like, you going wherever you want to go, and I'm stuck. And to a degree, with the kids, you want to be able to move and enjoy time with your family. So just being a husband, I kind of wanted that for her as well because I saw that it was weighing on her. And like they say, happy wife, happy life, but it's actually happy spouse, happy house. So, all of that stuff rubs off, So in order for us to be the best that we needed to be and to make sure that our marriage was healthy, we needed to take the steps to make sure that, okay, she's in a good space. Emotionally, physically, and we're spiritually aligned, we're able to communicate, and we're spending that quality time together to where we're really getting the most out of our marriage.
And for me, with health kind of being my background, like I've worked as a physician assistant. I graduated from school in like 2015. So just about 10 years I've been practicing. I see on an everyday basis a lot of the health disparities, especially in our community. For example, my father, he had his first stroke in his 40s. So making sure that, we stay on track of our blood pressure, monitoring, the amount of salt and sugar and things like that that we put in our diet was really important. I wouldn't say we micromanage our food, but just making more health conscious choices in what we eat, working out. Ivan was an athlete in high school as well as college. So he's kind of always been mindful of, making sure he stays in shape and, he wants to be an active dad. Our kids like to play soccer and football. Football and stuff like that. And that's always been important for him. Our daughter is in gymnastics. So all of us pretty active, but not only just Making sure that we prioritize our physical health, but also mental health, like Ivan said as well, because I feel like that plays a lot of a huge role in it. A lot of people don't even understand that how you feel mentally will play on your physical aspect. If you're depressed and you're going to kind of reach for those comfort foods and things like that, or even if you're not in the right space, you can physically make yourself sick just by not being in the right headspace mentally. So that was very important.
On this show, we talk about generational wealth. So,
Okay.
we've had a plethora of, I mean, this is show like 156. We've been around for a minute. You know about us, Ivan. We out here. But when we're talking about this generational wealth, like when we first started, we had discussions, okay, get stocks, get bonds, own properties, get a business. But then as we started to get more advanced, you started having guests, and that's cool too, but you need to get your family on board
Oh yeah.
to create true generational wealth. I think we even had your
Yes.
sister on last week talking about, for generational wealth to work. Because when I was doing my research, generational wealth, basically most people only establish it in their immediate household, and
Right.
money typically only is passed to one generation. So we're trying to do
Yes.
three generations and up. So what are you guys doing on a financial basis for your four kids and establishing wealth for them?
Yeah, well, one, just, saving up money for them, but at the same time, really kind of immersing them into the lifestyle that we're building. So all of my kids, pretty much, they are interested in the entrepreneurial route, right? So my 15-year-old is, even, down to the 5-year-old, they're looking to aspiring to have their own businesses and to have a certain type of freedom, but you got to be realistic with them about, what the landscape is and how it's potentially going to, well, it's inevitably going to change once they get older. So right now we're kind of sharing with them those success principles, and they actually just, we just did a collaboration with Wild Adventures, which is a theme park out this way. And our kids, this was their first time getting paid from doing a collaboration. We did a whole family commercial and stuff like that. So they're getting paid for the first time for doing something like this. So now it's like explaining to them, what that means and then how you build onto it, how you manage your money. So they, of course, want to get the Nintendo Switch and spend the money as soon as they get it. You know what I'm saying? They already know exactly what they want to get with the money that they're getting. But it's like, hey, why don't you save some of that up? Of course, enjoy it. You earned it, right? But let's focus on how we can be financially responsible, because they see everything out here on online. They follow the streamers and the YouTubers driving the Lamborghinis and Bugattis. So to them, that's how life is supposed to be, right? And it's like, okay, that's nice. You can have those things. We definitely want you to think big like that, but at the same time, we want to let them know what's required to do that. So how you manage your money, the mindset that you have to have for success, right? And then focusing on not just having an individualistic mindset, but having a community mindset. So how do we work together as a family where we have individual goals, but let's see what the collective goal is, the vision for where we want to drive this family and how each of us can play our part in being a part of that. So those are the things that we're instilling in the young kids now, to recognize that you have a family and a support system. Everyone has talents, gifts, interests. How do we align those talents, gifts, and interests towards a common goal so that we can all win? So it starts with us as a parents and then passing it down to our kids. So during the time when we're gone, they're going to know how to carry it forward. It's not just something we're passing down to them, but they know how to take the information from us, and they're learning at a young age so that it's already instilled in them.
Just making sure, since they're young, making sure that we are really focusing right now on the mindset, having a wealth and a success mindset when it comes to your finances, making sure that every time money hits your hand, you're not just automatically spending it, so that all these goals that they have, letting them know that it's attainable, but you actually have to have action steps in place and have a plan on how you plan on, getting these things. So like our son wants a Bugatti, like Ivan said, they have all these different lofty goals, how they're gonna, own mansions, and just letting them know all that's possible, but you have to have a plan for success.
And then just showing them the importance of bringing value. So I think that's one of the biggest things that you have to learn as an entrepreneur, is you can only be as successful as the amount of value that you bring to others. So They can't come in with just an individualistic mindset, but it's how can I be of service and support to other people? Like, for example, my Intrigue Media Group company, you know, I build it by bringing value to other people who have goals and dreams. And in turn, I'm able to attain my dreams and reach some of my financial goals through the value that I'm bringing to other people. So I think that's the key, because as we see, you know, technology and AI and all of these things entering into the fold, we know that the landscape as far as the types of careers that will be available 20 years down the line when they're working, it's going to be completely different than it is now. You know, some of these career paths aren't even going to exist in 20 years or less, right? So we're seeing from retail positions, you know, I ordered some pizza on Domino's the other day. I was just talking to a robot, you know? How many people you see working in the stores? Most of it's kiosks. You're seeing robots bringing you your food, you know, so lots of these things are going to be replaced. So it's kind of teaching them, you know, how to conceptualize certain ideas, how to identify, you know, pain points for other individuals where you can bring value to them. And the more value you can bring, the more money that you make. If you bring small value, you get small money. If you bring big value, you get a lot of money. So that's what we're teaching.
Like I said, 4 kids, 10 years married. Because a lot of people, when they get to 10 years, now, I mean, I'm at 9 now, so it feels weird for me to say this, but I just remember before, when I was single, you would see people when they 9 or 10, they arguing, they both fat, they eating whatever. But I ain't gonna lie, because I'm getting chubby. That's why I can say that, right? I can say that.
That's
comfortably.
A love weight.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Too much comfort going on. Too much catfish, cheese, grits, and collard greens.
You getting good, bro.
Yeah, wife even got me down south eating chicken sauce. I didn't even know I even ate boiled chicken before, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I'm just saying, like, when we're talking about generational wealth for your families, like, what are you doing financially? Like, do you have any funds set up for them, like for families where, you know, they're pregnant, they're about to have a child, or they have young children? What advice would you give for families out there that are saying, okay, I want to establish wealth for my kids, but I don't know how to do it?
So I'll never purport myself to be a financial expert. So, you know, we make money, we have a joint account set up, so we don't really separate our money like that. So whatever comes in, because she still does some PRN work with her physician assistant practice. So she hasn't stepped away completely. That's like an area where we bring money in that can go towards savings and things of that nature. Right. Then we have the work that we do through my businesses and through our collaborations and stuff like that. So that goes into a general account. We have a savings account, and we have an emergency fund for things that, you know, whether it's doctor's appointments or whatever the case may be, that's set up there. So I think that most families should probably have about 4 accounts, I would recommend, you know. So the main one being, you know, just your general everyday stuff, your bills. Then another one that's kind of like your money for you to do whatever it is that you want to do. And then you have another account that is set up for, you know, savings and just keeping it for, you know, wealth accumulation or, you know, kids going to college and things of that nature. And then your emergency fund where you're dealing with, you know, whatever miscellaneous things that you haven't accounted for that can just come up and be surprises. So that's what we do.
We do also have a 401k and Roth IRA and life insurance as well. So that's money that we can tap into for emergencies, like down payment on a home or something extravagant came up where we needed, you know, God forbid, hospital bills or something extreme like that. We have money that we have stowed to the side to tap into.
You guys mentioned a joint account, and that leads straight to my next question, because I hear a lot of families where they say, man, you know what? My wife don't know how much money I make, and I don't know how much she make, but it don't matter. We don't have a joint account. I have my account separate. Matter of fact, they married, they filed separate on their taxes. I was like, that's crazy. So that's
crazy.
You know, but remember, I went to FAMU, so I'm going to hit y'all with the compound question that I'm known to ask. I'm known for like the twofer. Then on the flip side of that question is, if you're married or about to get married, how do you get comfortable having uncomfortable financial conversations with your spouse?
First, I'll preface my statement by saying, do what works for you. Okay. I think sometimes we look for the perfect answer. This is what you should do, or this is what you shouldn't do. If it works, it works. Right. So I don't think that there's any cookie cutter way for you to handle your marriage. You know what works, you know, you're the person dealing with your spouse. But for us, you know, we put everything together. And I think just that transparency, it really works for us. We're very big on communication and not just communicating to communicate, but communicating to understand. So anything that we do, we have an understanding of why we're doing it and what we're expecting to get out of the scenario. And I think that especially from an entrepreneurial front, since she's kind of transitioned into entrepreneurship, I think it's really important for her to see how these things work, right? Because it's not like you just get a check, you know, every 2 weeks and you know exactly when it's coming in. Sometimes it's a lot more that you got to account for as a business owner and running a business. And I think that her being exposed to that and her now getting a taste of it, for example, we had a client, you know, a big client that we just worked with, payment 2 weeks late. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's her first one that she was working with. And I'm like, hey,
struggling.
Hey, you haven't felt entrepreneurship until you've dealt with that.
Right.
Right. So it's just like, you know, we're transparent. So I've brought her into this world a little bit and made her accustomed to it so that she knows. And then that helps us to connect better as well, because, you know, she came from the traditional working environment. I came from more of an entrepreneurial background, and that was a pain point as well at the very beginning of our relationship, her having to adjust to that. Not just me not being around as much and me doing different things, but also from a financial standpoint, kind of seeing how I managed and dealt with things. She's kind of learning how to do that. But I think that the fact that we're very transparent with our finances, we bring everything together so that we can see the bigger picture, and then we can easily map out our goals, because nobody's stashing money over here, nobody's stashing money over there. And I get that. I actually understand why some people say, hey, you know, have your separate account. You know, if you're a woman, have your separate account over here. I get those conversations. It's just not what we've chose to build our relationship on. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's the first one, is that, you know, we don't believe in having all these separate accounts. We just do it together. I'm not a huge biblical person like that. You know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not like a very religious person. But I do know that when you become married, you know, you bring everything together. You're one. And that's how we operate.
And same for me. Like, I came into the marriage knowing that I wanted to be a team, a teammate. I wanted my spouse to be a partner. And so I think, you know, that transcends also into your finances. We should never be individualistic with how you're managing money, because I feel like it's much more difficult to build, especially as entrepreneurs, to build something when you have money that's divided in all these different, you know, spots. So,
and then I'll just take it a step further. I think that that's kind of one of the challenges with marriage in this day and age. You know, we hear about the statistics, you know, the 50%+ divorce rates and things of that nature. We've seen, I mean, hey, the tech, I don't know if you heard, I'm sure you heard the story of the tech giant, you know, was caught up in there in the skybox having an affair. I mean, so he already stepped down from his role as the CEO of his company. We already know he's coming up off that bread because they're about to go through a divorce. So it's like, there's certain things that when you choose to get married, you know, you have to know how you want to deal with it. And you have to have a clear understanding of how your spouse wants to handle it. And just like a business, you know, you don't go in looking to fail. You don't go in scared. So we came in like, hey, let's just put it on the table. This is what we want to accomplish. And we just got to trust each other with doing the right thing. And that's how we approach it.
And I think the other thing that was helpful was that, you know, we were both young and in love. It's not like, you know, we came into the relationship with a lot of money. So it was very easy for us. So I think that's the same thing that Ivan was saying. Like, it does also depend on what level you're at. So we don't want to say like, one size fits all for how you should handle finances. But for us, it was very easy to come together, pull our resources together so that we can build faster and build something that's going to have some longevity.
You know, when we talk about marriage, I remember I was reading this article and they said before you, and I mean, I was single at the time, and they said, before you get married, realize marriage is an investment. Do you guys believe in that? And if so, let's break it down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I'll start. Marriage is definitely a major investment. I think it's the most important investment that you'll ever make if you choose to get married,
right?
Because who you choose to partner up with, you know, on this life journey can make or break.
Right.
So we've seen people get broken. You know, in my book, Defy Gravity, Unleashing Your Greatness Within, I talk about many of the mistakes that highly successful individuals make who have chosen to get married. Right. And I think the lack of discipline sometimes completely just destroys everything that they've built. So that's how powerful marriage is, where if it doesn't work out, it can get ugly. You get what I'm saying? So anybody who chooses to go down that road, I think that You know, one, you got to operate from a space of power, and you have to make sure that you and your partners are both walking in that same way, you know, viewing it as something that is going to work. There's no backup plan. There's no, it's not going to work. The same way I approach business, I don't care how difficult it gets, I'm an entrepreneur for life. And that's just, you know, the mindset that I have. I'm going to win. And in this marriage thing, I'm going to win. And if my partner feels the same way, then we stand the best chance of making it work. So that's the way that I view it.
And just like a business or just like a home, any asset that you have, you're going to protect it, right? You're not just going to give anybody your address and just let them come over and do what they want to do in your own house. That's the same way that I feel like marriage should be protected. You're only going to get in, you're only going to get out of marriage what you put in. So the same way you're going to be, you know, putting in time and effort into your business for it to grow, it's the same way you have to do with your marriage as well.
Okay, so what advice would you have for, you know, cause like I said, y'all coming up on 10 years for brothers right now, yeah. That's like, man, I'm in this bachelor pad. I'm old school, so I don't even know if they do the black leather furniture. Like, you know, I had my whole crib was blacked out. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, but I'm just saying, like, for a brother that's single, my career's great, graduated from school, I'm looking to settle down because I'm thinking about marriage as an investment. Is that something that's holding them back from fulfilling like true emotional love? Because I've seen people where they say, okay, you know, marriage is an investment. You know what? I'm a lawyer. She a dentist. We good. But then 10 years in, y'all like, man, all that money. And they going crazy, getting divorced, right, having all that. And so, you know, because when I did my research, like the number, like the top three reasons people get divorced outside of cheating, finances is like really number two. And then number three is not really knowing your partner because you played the financial game. So how do you, right, I guess, weave in and out of the financial aspect of marriage, but at the same time, still keep that, you know, that financial ability there?
Well, I think, again, that goes to having transparent conversations. So I think, first of all, when people are entering these relationships, they're not transparent. They're not open. Too many secrets come out later on down the road.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that's where we have to start, by having open and honest conversations and not entering relationships in a state of fear. So I'll speak from a man's perspective, is just that, you know, we hear all of the horror stories that men deal with, especially if you're making a considerable amount of money. We've heard the horror stories that sometimes make dudes say, hey, it ain't even worth the investment for me to get married, right? But that's because I don't think that we're vetting the women that we're dealing with the right kind of way. And I don't think that we're having the important conversations, right? So just to let you know, we weren't where we are now financially when we first got together, but still we entered the conversation with transparency, right? So there weren't secrets, because I know the questions to ask. You know, I got a journalistic background myself. So, you know, she'll tell me, you know, I'm listening to everything you're saying, how you're answering the questions. I'm getting a feel for your character, what your goals are, how you approach finances, what you think about family, what your family background is. These are all things that we got to know entering it, because all of those play a role into the partner you're going to be dealing with when you have money. And then if things are tough, you know the type of person that you're dealing with as well, as much as you possibly could. Granted, people can change. But I think the transparency piece and talking about money in the beginning, you know, in a tasteful way, is very important when you're entering a relationship, so that you have an idea of, one, how important money is to this person. There's literally women out there where it's like, hey, you know, of course I want to be stable, but money's not everything to me. And as much as a guy might say, nah, money is everything to every woman, that's not true. You know, it might not be the majority, but there are women out there where money is not everything to them. You know, so there's other character traits that come into play. But those are things that you got to sort through when you're entering a relationship. Just having those financial conversations to see how important money is. How do you deal with money? How do you deal with adversity? If things aren't always great and we do go through some struggles, how would you navigate those things? And I think you just try to become a judge of character as quickly as possible early in your relationship, so you have some type of idea of what you're getting into. And that's how I approach it.
And I think some women sometimes can come into a situation like very selfish and greedy. We're kind of taught to make sure you have something set aside for yourself, which I understand. You know, some people have that fear that if this doesn't work out, I don't want to be left with nothing and have to rebuild. But I think sometimes having that exit strategy already in your mind, it kind of puts things in atmosphere to where you kind of maneuver in your marriage with boundaries and with a guard up. You never, you know, get too close, or like Ivan said, be transparent, because you're already thinking about how you can protect yourself if this were to fall apart. So I think that's something that kind of needs to be done away with. People need to be able to be transparent about their finances, how they deal with money, be transparent about your debt, all of that, and be upfront so that you can kind of navigate the situation once you get to that point of deciding you want to combine your lives and, you know, get married and take things to that next step.
You know, our show is called Black Men Sunday, but if you look up our rundown, it's a lot of women on here, a lot of sisters, a lot of, you know, a lot
we
of
want
this,
to hear
a lot
what y'all got
of,
to say.
Yeah. But that brings me to my next question for you, Autumn. Women are kicking it, are killing it in 2025. Women been killing it since,
yes,
really since like the pandemic. You know, when we're talking about more degrees, being able to get in rooms that men can't get in. Let's talk about, Autumn, gender roles in 2025 when the woman makes more money. Let's talk about that.
Well, you care if I be transparent?
No, anything.
We don't really subscribe that much to gender roles, because I feel like at any point, anything can change. In the beginning, when Ivan and I first got together, he was making great money working with his dad. But then he decided that, you know, he wasn't fulfilled there. He wanted to kind of go in his own direction and start his own business from the ground up. And so there have been times in our relationship where I was the breadwinner, where I was bringing in the majority of the money. I was working as a PA, making good money while he was building up, you know, Defy Gravity and Intrigue Media Group. And then the roles reversed. So now Intrigue Media Group is the primary winner. Ivan's the primary breadwinner. And I've stepped back from what I was doing to kind of fill different roles in the household. So I think, you know, coming into the marriage, sometimes people can get stuck if they just want to focus on gender roles, because anything can happen. And so being able to be flexible and just know at the end of the day, you're a team. Sometimes it might be 70-30 one person's way, 60-40 the other. But as long as you're both willing to put in the work and fill in the gaps, whatever the household may need, that's what's important. Sometimes Ivan might be cooking dinner, I might be out working, and vice versa. I might be home all day, I clean the house, he's working, he's in the office all day making money on the phone with clients, and I'm doing the bulk of what it takes to keep the household afloat. But it's just both of us being willing to kind of fill the gaps wherever it is, and not having one thing being labeled, okay, well, I'm not going to do that because that's Autumn's job, or I'm not going to do this because that's Ivan's job. I feel like you never really will accomplish a goal if you're not willing to be flexible and kind of maneuver to whatever your household needs.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I'm not going to say I don't believe in gender roles. I do. But at this, I think what she's explaining is that sometimes the roles can change. So for the most part, as a man, I expect to be the provider of the household. So, you know, my wife can work if she wants to. And of course, it helps. But at the end of the day, I recognize it as a man, like I believe it's my responsibility to take care of her, take care of my family and things of that nature. However, that's the beauty of a real relationship. When you recognize it at times, she might be sick. You know, I might have to cook. You know, I might have to do certain things around the house. I'm not going to have a dirty house just because my wife can't do it, right? Or I'm not going to not eat or feed my kids because, you know, she's in the bed and she's feeling sick. So there's always going to be times where you got to pick up the slack. And I think that's the type of partnership and marriage that you want, is where it's not always, you know, tit for tat. It's not someone keeping score all the time. I'm doing this, you're doing that. Just like we hear these 50-50 conversations all the time, which I think is stupid, right? Because there's always going to be a time where one partner is going to give more of something than the other, mm-hmm. right? And I think that if you're only looking at it from a financial component, you're already losing, because there's so many things that arise over the course of your life, over the course of your relationship, that don't necessarily have to do with money, that if you're not prepared to deal with that, you know, you're going to lose. There's no way that it's going to work.
First of all, I want to applaud y'all because, you know, I am connected with a church. I do go to church. I just came from church, you know, and as part of my church, I do run, like, it's called a Faith Through Finances class. And so I want to applaud y'all because, you know, while I know that might not be y'all thing necessarily in terms of like attending church on a regular basis, y'all are still practicing a lot of the principles that I talk about at church, which is have a single joint account, be transparent, communicate with each other, about what your finances are and don't have any secrets about what your finances are. Like, that's
Yeah.
really important. And so the question I want to ask y'all is, do y'all also have, like, either in your heads or maybe you haven't even written out, a financial vision for what your family is trying to achieve financially?
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. Would you mind sharing it? I mean, I just.
Oh, as far, okay, like a specific number or just kind of like the plan over a
Not a
course of
number.
years? Like,
Not a number. More like I'm thinking more like an idea or a vision.
Yeah, absolutely. So, granted, like I mentioned, we've kind of subscribed to, or my family, we're really big on entrepreneurship, right? So we have to kind of go over the finances so that we can map it out, with tangible steps, that we're gonna, employ in order to get to our ultimate goal. So we write down everything that, we're looking to accomplish. So we'll have like first quarter goals, and the steps that we're gonna, go through in order to achieve that. And then we, have a yearly goal, and then we have like a 5-year plan as far as where we want to take this thing. So, for example, especially now that my wife has kind of ventured into entrepreneurship, we absolutely have to discuss finances because there's a lot of uncertainties, especially when you're building a brand from the ground up. So we run through the finances, all of the bills, things that we want to do. Like, for example, we're going out of the country for our 10-year anniversary in October. So we just got to line everything up, and be very specific about how we're going to accomplish everything, handle all of our obligations. We got kids and activities, whether it's gymnastics practice or whatever, we have to really lay out those finances and kind of have a plan set up for one, how we, make sure that we satisfy all of our requirements, but at the same time, we're growing as a business as well. So yeah, we definitely do that.
And budgeting and just making sure that we know where each dollar is going, especially when we have to reinvest into the business to just make sure it's still anything that we spend, make sure it still overall fits what our common goal and agenda is as far as where we want to be for our family. So
How often would y'all say that y'all have like a conversation about your finances, about your family finances?
almost
Frequently. She
every day.
know
Almost
I'm
every
gonna
day.
talk about it every day. Yeah,
Almost
so
every day.
yeah, so yeah, we're always going through it. It's a consistent thing because every day we gotta wake up with a plan, right? So of course, there's some stability. I wouldn't say stability because everything changes in the PR space that I'm in with clients and what they have going on. But at least, like, it's a business where, for the most part, you kind of know what's going on day to day until you got to get new clients or whatever the case may be. But also in the content creation space that we're kind of building, we're building up a brand there and it's kind of fresh. So we definitely have to talk about our finances like on a daily basis, how we're knocking off different tasks, pitching to different brands, sorting through the numbers so that we can grow. So that's still something that's being phased out where, it's not something where, and I've gotten into this content creation space with her where, it requires some time and it's a fresh thing. So we're in no way in any position to just be complacent and not talk about the finances because, we want to blow this thing up. So we're having daily conversations, daily strategy meetings, and that's how we keep it going.
So my last question is this. Now y'all got 4 kids. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? Y'all and y'all both doing all this stuff. Seems like y'all very busy professionals. Can I ask, like, is it just the two of y'all handling all of this? Or do y'all have a support system that's helping y'all? Or and how are y'all balancing that? And the reason I'm asking that is because I only got 2 kids. You know what I'm saying?
It getting busy.
I got a daughter in cheerleading. You know what I'm saying? I got a son who we trying to figure out what we doing with him. Sometimes we put him in soccer. Sometimes we put him in different things and things like
Yeah.
that. And I'm telling y'all, I'm stretched. You know what I'm saying? So
So
I'm
yeah,
like.
so I'm just gonna listen. Work-life balance, I don't even believe in that. I think that that's a farce. It doesn't exist. So, I mean, we'd be lying if we didn't act like there weren't times where we running around like a chicken with our heads cut off, right? Yeah. So that's really, we live busy lives. Like I said, our kids are in activities. We got four of them. So, we have a support system to a degree, we have family members around, but I'm gonna just leave it
It's
at
mostly us.
it's
Yeah,
mostly us.
it's mostly us. And I will say, sometimes we have to rely on our oldest a bit. Like he understands. We taught him a lot about the business. Our oldest is 15. So he understands that if we need to jet out somewhere real quick, or doing collaborations or interviews and things like that. He is very good about holding down the fort. But that's why we also include our kids a lot into what we're doing. So yes, it's work, but we also try to make it fun for them. Like we actually just got back from a collaboration in Gatlinburg with a mountaintop theme park that we did. So the kids were able to have fun, but then still, you know, understand, okay, that this is business. We're here for a job. But at the same time, once we knock off what we need to knock off, then we're able to enjoy our time. So being able to incorporate them into things we do has kind of helped to where it doesn't seem so stressed and overwhelming because we handle the business side. But then what they understand is that they're having fun as well.
Right. That's a testament to my son's maturity, the 15-year-old. Just
Yeah.
great kid, you know, and he's really just kind of been under my arm, just really learning about entrepreneurship and what it requires. And so just kind of he knows why we're doing what we're doing. So even the transparency that I talked about in a marriage with your wife, you got to be transparent with your kids. Not you protect them from certain things they're not mature enough to know about at a particular moment. But I think as they start to get older, you kind of incorporate them into what you're doing so they see, they experience your daily life. And then especially if they want to enter entrepreneurship, they get a real dose of what's required. Even the fun things, like my wife, when we first got into entrepreneurship, she thought I was just chilling. I'm going out to award shows, I'm traveling to different states, I'm going out of the country. And she's mad, like, you know, you out there having fun. And I'm like, you know, but you know, so everything, and granted, it might be fun, but there's work behind the scenes that's required. And even my kids are starting to see that now. Okay, like we're going to this theme park, you know, we're going to be riding rides, we're doing, but our responsibility to the client is that we cover this stuff and that we're able to help them to grow their audience. That's a responsibility that you can't take lightly. And them understanding that is like, okay, let's help mom and dad do this and accomplish this so then we can have fun because this is why we're doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just trying to build as much structure as we possibly can at home. I mean, granted, any day is going to look different from the next, but as long as like the basic staples are kind of in place, so that they know what's expected of them has kind of helped to take the stress level of the house down a lot.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. No, just want to applaud y'all on, you know, on what y'all doing. Applaud y'all
Appreciate it.
on really being able to because it seems like y'all really mature in the way that y'all handling, you know, your marriage as well as your professional. So I
Thank you.
definitely want to applaud y'all on that. You know, y'all done dropped a lot of gems for us to pick up on and think about how we want to manage our situations. I
Yeah.
want to make just one more comment because even though you know I know you say with your PR stuff you was away and stuff like that
Yeah.
you know and you know and actually for my marriages my wife does a lot of stuff. She's an educator, so she does a lot of like educational conferences and stuff where she'll be away and stuff like that. And what I
Okay.
would say, you could probably attest to this as well, is that also wears on you too though, because you're not at home with the wife or you're not at home or you're the spouse or you're not at home with the kids, you know what I'm saying? And so you just not having that time with the kids sometimes wears on you as well, you know, or not having that time with
Yeah.
the spouse wears on you as
Yeah, and
well.
I don't know if you want to
You
say
make your
something,
house
but I
look like
just,
you're partying.
yeah. Yeah, and just real quick, before she weighs in, I just want to say that's where the transparency component came into. Like that was really, you know, what could have potentially grown into a heavy point of contention, right? Because I mean, let's just be honest. I work with different celebrities. I work with a lot of women lots of times. I'm out at events. And initially, she didn't understand it. And if I wasn't mature enough to explain it to her, or let's just be honest, if I just didn't desire to bring her into my world, it wouldn't be very comfortable for us. So I think the transparency, like, look, I know that the optics might appear to be a certain kind of way, but I'm a publicist. My job is to be out there with these individuals, helping them to navigate it. I have to go to these events, I have to go to the shows, et cetera. But this is why I'm doing it, right? So this is how my job works. This is why I'm doing it. This is the plan and the vision that I have laid out for us and where I want us to be, right? So I kind of didn't make it an individual type of thing. I kind of gradually brought her into my world, which actually led her to the content creation. Because what happened is I would go out and cover red carpets and all types of events. I would bring a photographer, a videographer with me, et cetera. And then there would be times where it's like, hey, you know what? Like, you want to kind of see how this is? How about this? I'm going to teach you how to take photos. I'm going to teach you how to shoot some of these videos. And instead of having to bring somebody else, next time I go to the red carpet, you can come with me. So then she started learning these skills, and eventually she became great at shooting content, taking photos, and now we're here where she's a content creator and we're able to work. The only reason that this Defy Gravity brand is really kind of taking off now is because I painted that vision a couple years ago of how I wanted us to embody the brand, right? Because I think that before anybody else can buy into what Defy Gravity is about, we have to embody it. You know, it's a lifestyle and motivational brand where people can aspire to activate their gifts and their talents and have a vision and then kind of reach their ultimate level of personal and professional greatness. So if we're not actively doing that, it's not even believable. And I'm a person where I don't like to do anything fake. So we need to be this first so that we can show other people that it's possible, that two people can work together, share a vision, you know, you utilize each other's gifts and talents, and you work together to accomplish something. And I think that's how we overcame that.
Yeah, I would say it definitely came with a lot of growth, maturity, and understanding on my end, because there are different things you have to contend with when you're married to an entrepreneur. And then me stepping into this space, like I'll just give an example, with the birth of our last child, Ivan had to go to Ghana for 3 weeks, like a week after I had him. I'm home with a newborn and the three other kids, and he's all the way in Ghana, you know, for three weeks before he came back. And just understanding that, you know, he is helping to not only lay the foundation, but build on that foundation to really give our family the best chance in really building the life that we wanted. So having that understanding, like even though there are going to be some little bumps in the road and times that are really hard, that understanding what the overall vision is and that is the why behind everything that we're doing.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, I definitely appreciate y'all spending time with us and really working at it, because I really believe that that's one of the challenges, especially for our community, is understanding how to build a business within a marriage context, and then and then involving our spouses in it as well. Like, you know, we might try to build it on our own, or you know, and then be like, well, you know, if I'm, you know, if I say I'm, you know, I'm the husband, right? I got my wife. I might say, well, you know, she just handles whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm running the business of, and she just handles whatever. But to really bring it in as a partnership, I think is the most successful way. And so to hear y'all, you know, share with us some of the ways, some of the real ways that y'all are doing it, you know what I mean, in terms of communication and support and what you're doing with your children and everything. I mean, I think that's invaluable information. So I definitely
And
appreciate
to
that.
add to that finance portion, it actually is really smart to build a business with your spouse. We joke about this all the time, that anytime we go out for date night, it technically is a write-off because we talking about business while we're dining out. So that's another way to, you know, build with your spouse. And you know, I see Corey laughing back there, but it's a smart move if you think about it.
Y'all enjoying
Okay.
yourselves on Black Men Sundays?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
Yes, sir.
good, good. And before I let y'all get out of here, because I know that clock's starting to tick, I want to talk about this content creation space. You
Okay.
know what I mean? Because I feel like it's a pain. Like, it's the algorithms changing.
Oh,
You know, one
yeah.
minute, 1 minute you super lit, next minute you barely getting any views. But then I look at
Crickets. You got
y'all's.
crickets.
Yeah, but I look at y'all's and I'm like, y'all's be super lit. Y'all have fun with it. You know, that's why I brought the health perspective. You guys traveling. I'm like 10 years in, y'all looking like y'all like on y'all first honeymoon having fun. You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about the content creation space. Any tips for people? Well, hell, any tips? I need a tip because my Instagram
Okay.
looking, I'm losing followers right now. So I'm just saying,
Yeah,
like, any
it
tips for
changes.
that? Yeah, any tips for that? Anything, any do's and don'ts, any good times to post, you know what I'm saying? Like that type of thing to get in that content space. Because I feel like my TikTok is nice. My TikTok is
Yeah.
I could close my eyes, post TikTok. That thing is crazy. But when I look at Facebook, when I look at Instagram, when I look at the other social media elements that I can potentially monetize off of,
Yeah.
it's looking a little turtle-esque, to say the least. So what
Well,
tips and tricks do you guys have?
Instagram is a different beast and it's constantly changing its algorithm every day. So, what my biggest takeaway or thing that I would advise would be to just create content that you feel good about. Because the minute that you start tweaking your content and just trying to put stuff out there just for a clickbait or just to try to get, some viral reels, then sometimes you can start to water down your brand. So that's something even I had to contend with, because there'll be times where we do something that's, relatable comedy, and it might, be a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Not risque, but what's the word
Maybe
I'm
risky.
yeah, it might be something that's not, popular opinion, and it might hit, but you don't want to just be known for, oh, they just want to put out stuff that's just funny, comedy, clickbait type stuff. So I think, stick to your brand, stick to your brand direction, and consistently put out content that you're proud of. And eventually, the more you're consistent with it and putting out really good quality content, you're going to find the people that really resonate with what you have to say. And then that's when you get your real followers. Because even if you grow fast just off some viral reels, a lot of times people will come to your platform just expecting that one thing. And the minute you decide that you're not doing just that one thing, you might lose those followers, or they might not engage. So as long as you just stick to your brand direction and what you're known for, what you want to put out, then you can create something that's going to have a little more longevity.
I mean, I agree with that. I would say, for like Instagram, you can go on the back end and it'll tell you the times where your followers are most likely to be on. So that's something that we discover. Yeah, you can go on there and it'll show you, like, for example, mine is like 2 to 6 p.m. on most days, right? So that's when the bulk of my followers are on there, where I'm more likely to get more views from my followers. But Instagram is always switching things up. You know, they're switching the algorithm. So there were times we're going viral consistently and then it just stopped. But, so some of the frustration was set in. But what I would tell her is, one, I mean, from an Instagram perspective, I mean, it makes sense, right? They're not just going to let all these people be going viral off of their platform and making all of this money. They're going to make it a little more difficult, especially as more people start to utilize the app. Content creation is getting more oversaturated, right? So that's where you really got to be authentic. And I think the mistake that a lot of people make is seeing what they think is working for somebody else and trying to duplicate that. And they kind of lose a sense of their self. And your audience is not stupid. They're going to recognize that. So I think the key is the way that we go about it, because I mean, it's not like our numbers are out of this world, right? But I think that we've really started to build a very strong audience of followers who they know what to expect from our brand and they're supporting us. And it's because we've stayed consistent ever since we established this. We've remained consistent. So I always tell her, like, look, it's always better to move slowly than to move fast. And then sometimes you get a false sense of security because you got a bunch of followers off of one, two viral clips, but the rest of your stuff might not be going viral, and that's what people see the most. So you might actually lose followers because you thought that you had everything figured out because you went viral. So you start doing that and then you lose yourself. So the consistency, understanding when people are more likely to see your content, which there are tools on the back end that you can see that, so you know when to post. And then just making sure that you're connecting with other creators like you, and you're connecting with people in the space that you're trying to get. So, for example, economic development, issues impacting the Black community. There's other creators who talk about those things. And so you might want to connect with some communities where you can get followers and connect with other content creators or people who are interested in what you're doing. And then just remaining consistent. And the more consistent you are, I tell her and I tell other people that it's kind of like, I kind of put my PR hat on with it when we're doing the content. And it's like you want all of your content to be consistent across the board. You want it to align with what you do on a daily basis. So it's kind of like your resume, right? And if people don't believe you, they're gonna eventually lose interest, right? So they gotta believe you. So they gotta look on your TikTok and see, okay, he's doing that on TikTok. He's doing that on Instagram. I watch his podcast, Black Men Sundays. I see what he's talking about. He's out in the community doing turkey drives and different things like that. And people that resonates with, they're gonna be more likely to follow you and you build your platform. And it's not about, I know people who got like 1 million followers, they ain't making no money. It's just like, they just doing little stupid little videos because it's funny, right? But it's not something that a brand can really align with you on. You know, you're in your bedroom doing little dances or whatever, unless you want to be a dancer dancing for Beyonce or something like that. I tell people, what's your goal? So sometimes people abandon their goal for the numbers. Right? You got to stay true to it and you got to stay authentic. And there's 8 billion people on the planet. You keep doing what you're doing and you do the work behind the scenes to identify the best ways to engage your audience, they're going to come.
And just trying to keep your content fresh, I think, is another thing that's
Yeah.
important. Like if you go on Ivan and I's social media, you might see us at a restaurant, or you might see us doing a marriage skit, or you might see us doing a voiceover. You might see us posting some photos from a family vacation. You might see us talking to the camera directly. You might see some clips from interviews that we've done, and just trying to present the same thing to you as far as like our values, but just present it in different ways that might resonate with different types of audiences. So
Right.
I
Yeah.
think that's smart way to move too.
Absolutely.
So for people that are serious about PR or serious about, adding you to enhance their brand, whether it's media, whether it's podcast, well, that's still media, same thing, but I'm just saying, how can they contact you?
Yeah, so you can reach me at Ivan at intriguemediagroup.com. The website is intriguemediagroup.com, and just reach out. Let me know what you're doing. Typically, what I would recommend is that you have to have some type of foundation. So, if you haven't built a brand out where you have a brand identity already, you're probably not ready for PR. You probably just need to focus on your direction. But once you know that you have something and you're ready to just share it with a bunch of people, definitely reach out. I think the challenge with a lot of people is they're not quite ready. So when they get that attention, they don't know how to leverage. They can't leverage it properly because they're not prepared. So just make sure that you got your finances together, that you have a brand that's already ready to be promoted, and by all means, reach out. We work with entertainers, motivational speakers, authors, entrepreneurs, colleges and universities. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. I mean, if you're hot and you got something you need to share with the world, we can definitely help you.
And you do consultations. So
I do
even if you
consultations.
are not quite sure if you're ready for PR, feel free to still reach out,
Yeah.
tell Ivan what your goals are, and then he can discuss where you need to be if you're not there yet, and how to get there in order to be ready and prepare yourself for PR.
Absolutely.
Ivan Thomas and Autumn, thanks for coming on Black Men Sundays.
Appreciate you
Thank
for having
you.
us, man.
Being honest with us, because think about it, a lot of people not going to share their business to the public the way you guys are. You know what I mean? So I appreciate you. I appreciate your time coming on the show on a Sunday. I know y'all got some good cooking going on behind y'all up in that ATL, Hot Atlanta, Georgia.
We might have to hit up some restaurant today. We ain't cooked nothing, so
Oh man. Well, hey, there
yeah,
you
we just
go.
got back in town yesterday, so this was a chill day for us. So
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Like I said, it's a chill day. Y'all just got back in town, came on Black Men Sundays and showed us love. So I
you go.
appreciate you. I appreciate your time. And let's keep this party bus rolling, y'all.
Let's
Keep
keep
it
it going.
going. All right, brother. We appreciate you.
It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things.